Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And if you're like me and someone who has that real creative drive and always wants to do all these different things, in my case, I am writing, I'm podcasting, I'm audiobook narrating, I'm voice acting. But at the same time, it's really difficult for me to be able to sell myself as that. And that is sadly something that we all have to do as creatives that want to make this a part of our lives, to make this our livelihood. And so there are so many different people that are just like me that really love diving into the creative stuff. But when it comes to the selling of their creative selves, that's where they hit the wall. And so it's great to see that there is someone like my guest this week who has found a way to kind of meld the two elements together and make it something that's much, much more palatable for all of us to keep moving forward. Zachary Zeller is a former biological engineer who is now a marketer that is bent on helping creatives build their business. And the way he does it is very fascinating because he's able to take all those creative elements and apply them to your marketing. And he has done this for people like Les Brown, Jay Shetty, that has allowed his clients to build millions in revenue. And it's all about making those small, consistent efforts and all about plugging storytelling into your marketing capabilities. And so I am really excited to get Zach's story himself and also to see what he can offer for all of you, my wonderful creative friends, and help you get into that same sort of mindset for the marketing that you normally do with the creative side. So it is a real thrill to have my guest this week, Zachary Zeller. Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm pumped up after that introduction. That was great.
Oh,
I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and thank you. And thanks once again to Podmatch. Alex, you have put together a wonderful platform that is for several years now, for me, allowed me to connect with so many different people that I otherwise would not have been able to. And so I am thrilled to see more and more people using this platform. So you can chalk this up as another Podmatch success story. And once again, something that I'm not being paid to say. I'm really thrilled to have you here, Zach.
Likewise. I love Alex. He's one of the sharpest dressers I've ever seen of anyone in marketing.
Very polished. Yes, right, kind of his brand.
Exactly.
Exactly. So one of the things that really grabbed my attention with what you've been doing is how you've been able to pivot into this world of working with all these different creative people. What has been the latest thing that you've been able to apply to your clients?
Yeah, I would say the latest thing is creating client engines off of Amazon. A lot of this is with the nonfiction people. I actually have a few tips for fiction people as well. But the idea is that there's a lot of people with experience, like your financial advisor, marketing executives, people like that, who are leaving their 9-to-5 and want to have more freedom and maybe more creativity over what they're doing. But the problem is, it's them and everyone else posting and writing and putting videos online. So everyone kind of gets washed out. And what I like to do on Amazon is you can take your experience and craft it into a book. That book is your authority piece. And with just a modest Amazon budget of $10 a day, you can drive the right keywords and the people who are searching for your book to find it and create this ecosystem where they find your book and then they can get on your email list or get another gift for you. And before they know it, they're on a call, they're working with you, they're buying products. And that's what I like to do right now with the latest thing that I'm working on.
Excellent. Excellent. And you really bring up a very good point there, because back in the early days of communication, like with, say, radio and the early days of television, there were only so many different platforms where people could reach an audience. And so you have everyone really kind of vying for those spots and everything. But when they get them, they're going to be in front of millions of people, either listening to the radio or watching from home or whatever the case. Nowadays, there are just as many stages as there are people. And so now everyone's got their own stage, in a sense. And it seems like what they wanted to do with social media was create like one big bubble where you have everyone being able to have access to each other. But instead, it's created millions and millions and millions of little one-person bubbles. So it's difficult to try to see like where, how you can break out of that bubble and get into that person's bubble or that person's bubble. It's almost like you have to do it one at a time.
But there were Archie,
one of the greatest.
Exactly. But Archie and Mike were arguing, and Archie was saying, like, you can't have all these guys being promiscuous, like they need to settle down and grow up and do all this stuff. And Mike was saying, what are you talking about? All the guys are sleeping with, because there have to be an equal amount of women sleeping with an equal amount of guys. Mm-hmm. And the reason I share that is because what you said with social media works both ways. Mm-hmm. So being creative and having your own business, you have your own stage. And yes, it's a really great opportunity. At the same time, if you're a prospect or on the other side of that business as a buyer, mm-hmm. you're surrounded by infinite stages pretty much. And it can be tough and intimidating to know which one to walk up to and who to do business with,
yeah,
or who to follow.
Mm. Yeah. And so it's basically like kind of forcing you to make like really good pinpointed decisions instead of just going for something that is trying to cater to everyone.
Yes, and to understand, making those pinpointed decisions is really important. The way that I view it today is that if you do everything right in marketing, where you have a good offer, you're helping a specific audience, you're talking about problems and solutions, kind of all the classic marketing stuff, but you don't put your uniqueness on it, then you're really just warming up your buyers for someone else. And you end up in, it's almost like this business friend zone where people will see your content and they'll appreciate how you break things down because you haven't tapped into what makes you unique and different. Meaning, well, why should I work with this person if I can go to someone cheaper or maybe someone who does it in a slightly different way or someone who I just happen to have more affinity to because they seem cooler or whatever it may be. And that happens a lot in the marketing.
And that's one thing that kind of speaks to a lot of different people that are podcasters that do a lot of interview shows, because what they'll do is they'll put all the focus on their guest, which is great and everything. It's some, we all love that. We all appreciate every one of you who takes the time to be on our shows, but at the same time, it is our show. And so there's got to be a reason why that person is on there. And it's because of something that speaks to them. So-and-so. So tell us about yourself. There was a whole process that got me over here. So how exactly does that really connect you, the guest and the host, with what's going on? So that's the thing that always drives me nuts. I always like to put in a little bit of a personal element of myself with this show, just so that way you get a little bit of me, but at the same time, it's still providing a platform for the guests to tell their story.
100% agree on that. And it's a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people don't like marketing and they look at it from that formulaic lens where the deeper you go into marketing, the more you see this. And I might be speaking as someone too deep in the world of marketing, but it's almost like you have these godfathers that hand down templates. So you have like the Dan Kennedys, the Alex Ramosis, the Ryan Dice, the Russell Brunson, like handing down, here's webinars, here's Facebook ads, here's sales, here's this. And people try and take that and just plug it into their business. And that, with the social media side, can create this effect where it's almost like you're scared of the market and the people you're trying to help. Because it's almost like, what's wrong with me? How come I can't apply this? Or you're walking on eggshells because you want to do everything. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You want to do everything perfectly for the algorithm, for the respecting the sales process that's gotten X amount of money for someone else in a different market, in a different context. And it can cause... The solution there is often worse than the problem, because it takes you away from what actually makes you unique and magnetizes your clients to you.
Yeah. And with all of this, this kind of insight, I'm fascinated to find out exactly how all of this came to be. Because one of the things I love to talk about on here is the road to creativity. And that's basically where you are getting onto that highway. You find that specific highway that says, like, ooh, that's where I want to go. That's the kind of person I want to be. And to get there, I got to do this. So all of a sudden now you're merging into traffic and there you are, but you're on the path that you want to be in. You're on the path that speaks to you creatively, passionately, everything like that. So what was it that got you into this realm in the first place?
Yeah, so it was an accident. I was in college growing a nutrition fitness club because I'm really passionate about cooking and health and exercise. But we didn't have a budget because of the way I took over as president and the last president left. So I saw everyone around this time, like 2010, 2011, there were really big health and fitness newsletters in the space. And I thought, well, if I write a daily email to this list with tips and stories and all of that, that can be a really cheap way to grow the club and keep everyone engaged if I don't have money to bribe college students with pizza. And I ended up continuing with that for 3 years, turned it into a nutrition coaching business afterwards because I liked it so much, and made zero money because there's a lot more to business than good copy. So that caused me to pivot going into freelancing. Got a few clients with that. And that was kind of me feeling good at the height of landing these deals of doing marketing for other people. I was so confident. I moved from New York to Arizona. And for 6 months, I didn't get another client. And it wasn't for lack of trying. I was doing this thing where I would mail out to local businesses, staple a $2 bill on the top because it gets their attention.
Yeah.
And it's also the cheapest currency I can use that was still kind of attention grabbing.
Yeah.
But I was going live on Facebook. I was doing spec work, like writing and sending it out to people who had funnels, going to BNI groups, like shaking hands, kissing babies, doing all the stuff. And then I wrote a book in a weekend. I just kind of realized I was doing so much and it was tearing me apart. That I needed to stop and really put together a solution to a problem in the form of a book and try to get that into the hands of the right people.
Not to interrupt, but what you just said was actually pretty perfect right there, because normally whenever we're getting into this sort of business or trying to push something, we're trying to solve other people's problems. It sounds like what you did was you kind of solved your own.
Yeah. Over time, eventually.
Yeah.
Because it's really frustrating, especially as a marketer, because I was not just moving out of my parents' house in New York, where I have to buy food and I have rent and my overhead, but also I was spending over $3,000 a month working with a coach to get better at copywriting, to have his experience critiquing my work, also working with a marketing coach. And that's why I moved to Arizona, because it was close to Vegas. It was close to Southern California. Like, there were a lot of events in that area, and it was cheaper than flying out every month or every few months from New York. And so there's almost this burden of, how come I can't market my way out of my own business problems if I'm doing this for a premium for other brands? And that's why I felt that pressure and tried so many different things without stopping, taking the time to strategize and think, and then execute something really well instead of diluting that focus.
And so it sounds like you were really just compartmentalizing everything, getting it all into one area. And in this case, it was like a geographical area. So that way you knew where you would be able to best focus, put all your focus, and then just move there. That's great that you're able to do that. Would you, for those that don't have that option available to them, would you say that the best way for them to branch out, would you say that the best way to would be kind of start with the closest community to them?
Yeah. So I view it as you don't want to be in a big sea. Mm-hmm. You want to jump up and down in a bunch of puddles.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, that was the strategy of me going into BNI groups, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like the local business Avengers, mm-hmm. where they have one business of each type. And if I go in and I'm the marketing guy, that gives me an opportunity to work with the jeweler and the pool mm-hmm. guy, and everyone there accounts for usually a third to a half of my revenue today. Going into mastermind groups to learn, obviously spend that money to learn and improve my own skills some more, but also give value and connect with other people's businesses mm-hmm. to help them out as well and get them as clients and get referrals. Excellent. That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. And I myself have had some experience with BNI groups, having substituted for a previous employer for him at various meetings. But for the uninitiated, tell them what a BNI group is.
It's business networking intensive.
It's like business networking initiative or intensive. I've always been trying to figure out like, okay, so I know the business and networking part. What the hell is BNI?
Exactly. I just know that it's a really simple way to get in front of people. And this is, I almost view the marketing and sales process as this three-tiered pyramid. Mm-hmm. And so that bottom layer is going to be sales, where mm-hmm. you're out there just interacting with people, because the first and most important thing is to see where you have product market fit, which just means what people are resonating with. Because a lot of times, and I'm sure you can attest to this, with your book, where if you spend so much time building this world, writing, editing, you're living and breathing it, and you close your eyes and you can still see the characters and the words on the pages sometimes. And the people who see it and have just a first exposure to it, they may latch on to something you would have never expected. And that's kind of what happens when you start telling your story and connecting with these people in person, or even on podcasts. Mm-hmm. Having someone face-to-face, you can get a lot more of that feedback to hear, okay, maybe they don't care about how you do one thing or how you explain one thing, but when you pivot, you have their attention, and then you could double down on that. And that's the first layer. The rest of the layers pretty much refine that process so you can use it at scale. If I'm talking about getting clients from your book without launches or funnels, and that, let's say that resonates after talking to a bunch of people, then I could put that in my marketing and I could, let's say, write a book about that or write posts about it or what have you. And now people, instead of me explaining it every single time, people are reading that book to solve a specific problem, and they're coming to me already speaking my lingo. And then the top level is really turning this into an engine where if I get this book into 100 people's hands, 10, 20, 50 of them are going to get onto my email list. They're going to reach out to me. They're going to buy my other books. They're going mm-hmm. to get whatever that next step is. Yeah. And you can know with a lot of precision if you want mm-hmm. to ramp that up or scale it down or keep that consistent.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a great way to look at it. So with the time that you were spending trying to get everything moving, you had some very impressive names listed on your website. Now, what was it that got that first one? Because no one wants to be the first one to give someone their shot. You know, that's one thing that I remember William Goldman saying that. It's like, no one wants to be the first. They always say they want to give like these new voices and these new talents their shot, but no one wants to be the first one to do it. But Once one person gives them a shot, then that gives a little more lenience to allow the other person, the next person in line, to say, oh, what do you have there? I trust that person. They're talking to this person. I'm going to talk to this person too. And then all of a sudden you have the chance for one more, and then one more, and one more. So who was that lucky person to pick your brain for the first time?
So frankly, that's where the story picks up, because after I wrote my book, mm-hmm. I had my friend send it out on his email list. And maybe a month later, there was this guy, Jason Capital, who ran a very large publishing business and who wanted me as his junior copywriter.
Oh, wow.
The weekend after he asked me, I moved to California.
Nice.
And started working with him. And that was like a 5-6 year engagement where I went from junior copywriter all the way up to being the CEO and wow. just kind of handling a lot of the day-to-day marketing and execution of the business, while he was more of the founder visionary person. It was through him, because of all the stuff that we built out, people looked at that as the industry standard. We had a solution to a lot of people's problems, mm-hmm. which was monetizing on social media. And then we had a great network that could introduce us to a lot of these people, and we made them a great offer.
Nice. Nice. And then from there, what got the attention of people like Les Brown, et cetera?
So, yeah. So it was just dominoes at that point. This was around 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. A lot of webinars and automated webinars were in their heyday. Mm-hmm. And we basically went from email marketing bringing in a ton of our revenue, mm-hmm. switching to YouTube ads and webinars. And it was a lot. We were basically spending all this money to get people onto a webinar, trying to sell on the webinar, and then repeating everything the next week.
Nice.
So it was something like, we made like 80K from a webinar, which is awesome.
That's great.
But we were spending up to 100K a month on YouTube ads. And so it's like, we needed something that would convert better or be less labor and capital intensive, which our social media had been slowly growing. And we figured out a way to get people into the chats, go a little back and forth with them, and sell them our courses with a short video. So the first month, I was running that the first month myself, and we went from $0 to $7,000 with maybe 38,000 followers, not really doing too much, but just from our email list, from running ads, we got that reach. And then I started hiring people. We started making it a lot more nuanced and layering pieces of the system on. And that became a $300,000 to $400,000 a month sales engine. And we used that to grow more on social media. So we built our following up to a combined like 4,000 to 5,000 between Instagram and TikTok. We would drive those people to chat and make sales off of them for our courses on basically copywriting, coaching, and speaking these high income skills.
And then seeing that sort of growth, that's got to be just a huge, huge boost of confidence for everyone involved in the place.
It was good. It was crazy, because the other side of this, and this is why today I wouldn't say that social media is the best way to scale your business. The way that I look at it is how you scale is how you have to maintain your business. So it's almost like if you're trying to lose weight, you could run 10 miles a day, but what's going to happen when you hit your goal weight? Your body's used to running 10 miles a day. That's what got you there. So if you stop, you're just going to go right back up. And it's the same thing with social media, where we had a whole team. We were paying about 250K a month for production, people to track the results, to manage the teams, to edit the videos, to distribute everything, to engage, like doing all this stuff. And it's like one of my clients, Media Scaling, is world class. They've like systematized this. But for most people, if you don't want to maintain that level of content and staying on the pulse of everything and building a team or paying to have someone else do it, mm-hmm. it's a lot simpler to create just really like I call it a really valuable book, mm-hmm. and have people driven to that book, driven to that next step after the book, and mm-hmm. pulled into essentially what's a customer journey.
Yeah.
Like a really common way I've seen this on Amazon, especially with fiction authors, is I'll see like the first book of a series on Amazon. Like,
yeah.
So okay. the first book is on Kindle Unlimited.
Yep.
So you can get it free. And then the next book you have to pay for. And there was there's an awesome zombie book that I finished that book. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then the next book, it's like $16-$20 to go through the rest of the series.
Yeah.
But it's great because you get the first book for free and you're completely pulled into the rest of the ecosystem. That's the same effect that we're creating with these courses and consulting and everything else.
So it's like a loss leader kind of thing.
It's yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Except it's not like when I think of loss leader, there's a cost to have that set up. A lot of the times with marketing, it's not exactly a loss leader because mm-hmm. you can break even. So like, especially if we're still selling the book for a price and it's not on Kindle Unlimited,
yeah,
because it's, we're doing this with nonfiction authors. So if we're getting like an ACLS or the average cost of a sale on Amazon, if it's like 70% or below, or even if it's a little bit higher than that, when we start, we're breaking even getting our books into people's hands from the ads.
Interesting.
And everything on top of that is like, hey, we have a customer, like they're taking a step to us to get on our email list. So we know the people that we're talking to the most have purchased a book. They've voluntarily opted into our email list, into our world, and they're reaching out to us. So it's not the problem you have with a lot of creators where you're mm-hmm. creating and building an audience because you have good content that's free and ungated. And so when you put out a course or put out books or put out something, it's like, oh, you want us to pay for that? Or this is, I like your free content, but I'm not going to pay you 10, 100, 1,000, whatever it is.
So they're not making the conversion. Yeah. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
So what is like a good tactic for someone who is just kind of starting out? They have the content. They have at least one book out. They have something that is tangible, something that is completed. They put in the work for that. They put in the creative work and everything. They've gotten something out there. They have it ready. And now they got to sell it. What is one tactic that they can use that's not just like basically going on social media and say, here, buy this?
Yeah, because I really like $10 Amazon ads. Mm-hmm. So I would say you have the book, have it on Amazon, just because Amazon carries so much trust and so many people search on it. And I like to really think like someone who has the problem you're solving with your book, or if it's fictional, kind of what theme or category it is. And you could search for other popular books to get these keywords. Once you have 10 or 20 of them, then you could set up a manual ad on Amazon and have that run mm-hmm. and see what's hitting, what's not. I would say that's the minimum, because now you're getting the right people to your book. And you can see in the data, like, but you can see that, hey, if I get a lot of impressions or Amazon is showing this to a lot of people, but no one's clicking, then my cover or my title isn't connecting, or there's an issue with the metadata. Yeah. You can fix that. Then you'll get impressions and clicks, but no sales. Mm-hmm. And that's when you'll work on your description, maybe add some A+ content, maybe work on asking friends or do something to get more reviews, and then you'll get more sales. And you can see every step mm-hmm. of this process, but it really starts with getting your books in front of the right people. And the easiest way to do that is with the ads.
Yeah.
Because it's not, when I work with people and it doesn't work out that well, a lot of the times it's because there's a huge skill gap mm-hmm. and like monetize it. But he didn't have the skills to speak on video.
Mm.
And so we had all the right words. We had an offer on the back end, but the execution wasn't there. And I see that so many times, whether it's video or written content, it just takes time to dial in that triangle of your audience, your expertise, and your offer where it clicks and it just like.
And there's also another element that needs to be there, and that's comfort. They need to be comfortable saying what they're saying, because if they're not saying it with confidence, then why would the client have any confidence in them?
How key it is on how fast you speak, the emphasis you put, how your tone goes up or down, or if it stays the same too much, it's all stuff that's going to lose people. But yeah, it's another skill on top of that. That's why I just like the ads, because it takes that away.
And I know I have a short attention span as well. So when it comes to that, I always want to make sure that my listeners are as awake and dialed in as possible. And if that's something that I can control with my own voice, then I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen. So one thing that we've seen a lot of now in this day and age is, sadly, the rise of AI and people using it for different means. And there are a lot of people that are saying, oh, with AI, you can write a book in 10 minutes. And which I feel is the epitome of missing the mark, because they're just saying like, oh, you have time to do the dishes and do all the other things and everything while your book gets written for you. And I'm just like, no. You want to let AI do all that other stuff, so that way you can sit down and be creative and apply everything that you are to that creative work. So when it comes to that, what would you say? Because a lot of people are going to look to AI as a possible resource. And I'm not saying, I would never say use it to write your own book, because if you can't be bothered to write it, why should I be bothered to read it? So the way I see it with that is AI can definitely be useful in terms of the marketing strategy. Would that come in handy for that?
And when you say AI useful as the marketing strategy, you mean to create the marketing strategy?
Or? As a tool.
Okay. Yeah. So the way that I view it is, if you're creating assets with AI, the faster you can create something, typically the shorter the half-life it has. Because good writing isn't good writing because it hits a certain word count or because you put a great prompt in. A lot of good writing is organized thinking. And it has a big foundation, and you're not just going to create a good book with vibe writing where like you with no training just go in and think you're Faulkner and write stream of conscious and create an amazing novel. That being said, I would say depending on the type of book you do write, AI can help bridge some of the gaps you have. So if it's a really targeted short fiction book where you're running your business, you have this expertise, or maybe you're writing this whole fiction book and you've done that work, and then you can feed that into AI, and AI creates maybe those little like marketing sprints for you, or it takes your expertise and organizes it into a shorter framework that you could then expand upon and work over, or you write something and you have very specific line edits that you have to make your writing pop more because of the mistakes that you make in writing, and you can just have AI just go through it and say, hey, I need to fix these run-ons. I need help with not using the word that to start every sentence. AI can help with that, but I wouldn't put it in front of creating everything. I almost view it. Yeah. I view it as this further specialization of labor where, and this is taking people back to high school history class, when you have these huge technological revolutions, you have a fracturing and deepening of all of these creative pursuits. So it's when people didn't have to hunt for food all day and they had farming, you had so many people making pottery and telling stories and focusing on stuff that wasn't needed for survival.
Right.
And you see that again with the Industrial Revolution, the same with the internet age, and now with AI. And so I think that with AI, you can be exposed and test out a lot of different ideas and spend more time on the really unique parts of writing and understanding how do you make your point pop? How do you make it more engaging? Like, how do you... One thing I've been looking at recently is Sanderson's Laws of Magic. Think of it through like a marketing frame, because I thought it would be cool. What if you had like, there's a cost with every sales call and every marketing piece you write where you can get exhausted and tired after that. And so I almost view it like a magic system where you can be persuasive if you train and you work on that, but there's this cost. And I think that's an interesting idea. But if I just had AI do all my thinking for me in terms of how do I want to capture the imagination and teach this with more enticing metaphors and ideas, AI would most likely fall flat because they wouldn't, it wouldn't connect those two ideas.
Right. That's great. And that's definitely something for people to keep in mind. You can use it as a tool, but don't rely on it to get your message out, because really at the end of the day, you're the one that knows the message more than anyone else. So you got to be the one to get it out. You can't rely on something like AI to generate it for you, because you got to add that human element to what you do. So what would you suggest would be the first step that someone would want to do to get some sort of traction for the stuff that they have?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is first build the demand for it. And a lot of that to me is more people need to see it. I think one way of doing that is with the Amazon ads. I think another way of doing that is with social media content. So I almost view it as if, so if you have this daily writing process, maybe if you're working on a book, you're working on a project, stick to that. But if you don't have a specific project, something that's really cool is working on almost shorter pieces to expand your world building and have that go into the world of social media.
Sort of because, like with like Medium or Substack place, like platforms like that, would you suggest?
Yeah, exactly. Because people, essentially what you're doing is you're giving this appetizer to your writing. And I know typically one or two things will happen with that, where people will read it and maybe they'll just love reading the articles on Medium or Substack or a blog or wherever you are. But a lot of people will say, hey, this is great. I want more of it. Or I want more context to start at the beginning. And they'll purchase your books. They'll get on your email list. They'll want to spend time with you. And there's almost two types of people you're writing to. But at first, it's you're writing for your audience.
Yes.
And it's you want this story to really captivate and capture the imagination of who you're writing to. But what happens over time is you start to attract a lot more of your peers and you become a leader in the industry. It's funny because I'm sure you get this where you have your audience who loves your book and then you have all of the adult writers who come to you and they love your book, but at a different level of more of the craft and the positioning and career and all the other stuff. So I think that's something to keep in mind as well, where as you write, you're going to evolve and not just give value to your intended audience, but it's going to grow into this other audience. But that's where social media is really great, because you have this high frequency cap, meaning you put an article on Medium or Substack, you can write an article. The more you post, assuming that it's good quality, the more results you'll get, which can be the exhausting side of social media if you feel the compulsive need to keep up and put out a ton of content. But if you're focusing on that as a strategy to aim for one post a week or one post every five, three, however many days, however prolific you are in that season of writing, that's like unlimited upside versus writing more books, maybe a little bit slower to build that audience. Writing to an email list is going to be slower, but having that basically unlimited frequency cap on social media is great.
Excellent. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn mostly, Zach Zeller 22 with a Z-A-C-K.
Nice.
And I post a lot of stuff about books and marketing and have some fun there.
Fantastic. And I hope that all of you have been able to take as much as I have and really just see how it can be applied to your own work by giving your marketing just as much of a creative bend as the work that you're putting out there. It's not only going to be more fun, but it's going to be something that you're going to be much more consistent at, which means that it's going to increase your chances of reaching more people and increasing the audience that you have been craving, that you have been needing to keep going. So by all means, keep on pushing forward. Keep looking for different ways that you can apply your own storytelling instincts to elements like marketing. It's only going to be a positive thing for you. It's only going to be a positive thing for your readers, your listeners, your viewers, whatever. It's going to get your audience. So keep looking for those elements. Zach has provided some wonderful insight and some great ideas. I'm excited to apply a lot of this to my own work once it's all set to come out. And I hope that all of you are too. So remember, in these crazy times, we need your stories. We need your vision. We need your own personalities, your own lives. We need those now more than ever. So for Zach Zeller, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.